I like to create, or what Molly calls doing craft. And whether that's in the garage or making something in the kitchen, or if I'm really desperate, in the garden, you know, there's nothing better than getting a slab of timber and crafting it into something new. I brought something for a bit of show and tell. I made this out of some scrap ply that we had one afternoon when Molly left me to my own devices. You know, a couple of hours of measuring and cutting, I even sanded it. And don't we think it looks good? No! The answer is no! My two angles, they're not exact. If you see in the middle, it moves. And this morning I held it up and there's like a gap at the top here that shouldn't be there. It's a total disaster. Now, while I enjoyed making this, that afternoon, did I fulfill my purpose properly? No, I don't think I have. And why is that, I'm asking? Why did I not fulfill my purpose properly? Why did I not fulfill it as God says I should have, perfectly? And I've been thinking about that for a while. And all it comes down to is being human. You know, whether I get the measurement wrong by a mil or two, or 100, or I lose concentration for a second, whatever it is. You see, my purpose that afternoon was to make this caddy. But I didn't feel my purpose perfectly. I can't say that I was good, like God says his creation was good, perfectly fulfilling his purpose. Now, this confuses me, and I'm hoping it confuses you because that'll make me feel a bit better. Because over the last few weeks, we've been thinking about God and his creation. So God created everything, and when he finished, he would look at it and say, "It is good." Which is everything fulfilling its purpose perfectly. Now, I understand that I am created by God. And therefore, I should be filling my purpose perfectly. But as you can see, I don't. And it gets me thinking, where else do I fall short of fulfilling my purpose? And am I the only one? Do you do everything perfectly all the time? You know, are you the perfect parent, the perfect husband or wife? Were you the perfect child, the perfect friend, the perfect worker or the perfect student? You know, why do we fall short? Is it because of that age-old excuse, we're only human? 2 weeks ago, we were shown that God made everything just by speaking, and everything he made was good. Last week, we were shown that humanity was the pinnacle of God's creation. God created humanity, and he stepped back, and he said, "They are good." We perfectly fulfilled our purpose, and so that excuse of being human, it's just that. It's an excuse, and it's a poor one at that. It's not the reason why. So again, I ask, why is the world not like it was when it was first created? Why, instead of everything working perfectly, is it opposite to the Midas touch? Instead of turning to gold, it just turns out terrible. Well, we all know the answer to that, don't we? The answer is sin. But what is sin? Where does it come from? And why does sin mean everything failing to fulfill its purpose? We're going to spend time looking at the Bible for these answers. You see, we're going to go through the Bible for these answers because sin is a biblical word. And so looking up the definition in the dictionary, it doesn't fully grasp the understanding of sin. Trust me, I tried. I thought this would be an easy sermon. I'll get my dictionary out, I'll read the definition, and then we can all move on to morning tea. But unfortunately, it didn't do it justice. Here's what the dictionary reads. Transgression of divine law. That would have been a quick sermon. Now, while having a quick look at Genesis 2, that's what sin is. Genesis 2:17, God tells Adam not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then in chapter 3, verse 6, both Adam and Eve eat from the tree that they were told not to. So while on one level, the dictionary is correct, but as I said, it doesn't give us the full understanding. To be able to fully grasp what sin is, we need to look more at what's happening. God clearly says that Adam could eat from any tree, except from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So what's so bad about this knowledge of good and evil? Nothing's wrong with it. So Adam understood evil. He grasped the concept of death, and he understood that it was bad. We know this because of 2:17. So what's so bad about this fruit? The key to working this out is looking at the conversation between Eve and the serpent. You know that serpent, he doesn't trick, but he persuades Eve to eat the fruit. And he does so by telling half-truths. The serpent says two things that are true in verse 5. Let me read it out. It says, "For God knows that when you eat from the tree, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God." Now these are both true, because in verse 7, then their eyes were opened. And in verse 22, the Lord said, "The man has now become like one of us." Now the striking thing about this is, weren't Adam and Eve already like God? I mean, God made man in his image. So how did we become more like God? We wanted to decide for ourselves what was good and what was evil. You see, up until this point, Adam and Eve were told by God what was good and what was evil. And that's his prerogative. I mean, God created everything. He made us to live in his world, but Adam and Eve said, "No, I want to be the one that decides what is good and what is evil." And as soon as they claimed that power for themselves, they realized what they had done and that it was wrong. Have a look, they were ashamed, it says there. Now, as you probably all know, I'm going to be a father in January, and this scenario is what I envision happening over and over again, at least once the kid becomes a toddler. You know, I'm telling it not to do something because it's going to hurt itself or it's going to break something. And then I get that look. If you're a parent, you've probably got it. If not, you've probably seen this look, the look that says, "You are a massive dope, and I am going to do what I think is right." So I tell it not to do something, whatever it is, so it's playing with a sliding door. Don't play with a sliding door, you'll slam your fingers. And it looks at me and it says, "I've decided that this is fun, and it's not a bad thing." And so it plays with the sliding door, and bang! Slams its finger, bursts into tears, and I get in trouble for not telling it that something bad is going to happen. It's a power struggle. Everybody wants to have the power to call the shots. See, that's what sin is. Sin is a quest for power. And at the heart of this quest is rebellion. Rebellion against God. God has given us the whole world to rule. And he's going to set the parameters and he's going to make the rules. But humanity said no. Nah. We want to do your job too. We want to make the rules, decide what is right and wrong. The serpent said that eating the fruit will make us like God. And like I said, that's a half truth. It did make us more like God, but not in a good way, in a false way. By making our own rules, we reject God as God and put ourselves above the law. You see, sin isn't being a law breaker. Sin is being a law maker. Sin is the rejection of God's rule, rebelling against God in the order to claim power to make the laws for ourselves. I mean, how would you feel if this happened to you? You got rejected and rebelled against by someone just so they could take your power. And everything that you've done was for their good. Think about your child or your spouse. It's heartbreaking. You know, you'd be angry You'd be disappointed, ashamed. Now imagine that happening trillions of times over. Because that is what happened to God. So that's what sin is. But where did it come from? And why does it affect me? Quite simply, sin comes from denial. In Genesis 3, there are two big denials that still happen today. The first denial is the denial of God's word. You see, in Genesis 3:1, the serpent changes what God says. God says, you cannot eat from the tree. From any tree in the garden, except from the tree of knowledge. The serpent said, did God really say that you must not eat from any tree? He changed what God said. And changing God's word, that's where the Roman Catholics got in trouble when they said the bread and the wine of the Lord's Supper wasn't just a reminder, but it was actually the body and blood of Jesus. Then the woman, she adds to God's word, which we all know is a bad thing because adding to God's word is where we get the prosperity gospel from. Or the idea that baptism and confirmation goes towards salvation. Adding towards God's word, it has dire consequences. Yet that's what the woman does. Verse 3, you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not even touch it, or you will die. God never said they couldn't touch it. The third denial of God's word, is just a flat out contradiction. Verse 4, the serpent says, you will not certainly die. I reckon I could walk out those doors and travel less than 500 meters to find someone that believes something that is the complete opposite to what God's word says. Where does sin come from? It comes from the denial of God's word. And it also comes from the denial of responsibility. I love this. We didn't read up to it, but down in verse 12, if you have a look there, just after God comes and finds them in the garden, he asks the man what's going on. The man says, the woman that you gave me. And the woman says, the serpent. You know, there are arms going everywhere, flames flying around, it's a bit like a dance party going on. Just at home, when Molly goes to the fridge and she opens the door and she goes, who's had the last of the Sprite? Now, I could be looking at the glass that I've had it with, but my default answer is, oh, you must have. And then I think to myself, and maybe I did. And then I get in more trouble. See, sin comes from the denial of God's word and the denial of responsibility. And these denials, they are both outside of us and inside of us. The serpent and his rebellion against God, that's clearly outside of ourselves. The serpent, the devil, he's cunning in what he does. He promises freedom, but all he delivers is bondage. He promises the world when in reality he's taking the world that we already have. He convinces us that he's our friend and God is not when it's the other way around. And still to this day, the devil is cunning. He convinces us that he doesn't exist, that there's no such thing as evil or sin, that things just happen. And if there is actually a God, then that God wouldn't be letting these bad things happen. Smart play. So sin starts outside of us, from what's going on outside, but it only works because of what is inside of us. Have a look at verse 6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. She saw it, and she said to herself, yeah, I want that. It looks like it'll taste good. It looks like it'll go well in my salad. And it's quite obviously one of those newfangled superfoods that everyone's talking about, because eating it will help me gain wisdom. The appeal from the outside only works because it appeals to something inside of us. We believe the lies because, as I said before, they're half true. They say what we want them to believe. You see, sin comes from the denial of God's word and the denial of responsibility. And it pokes its ugly head up from outside of us and inside of us. And still, sin affects us today. Even though we didn't personally eat from the tree. Because Genesis 3 is not a story about one man. It's an account of one humanity. It wasn't just Adam who rejected and rebelled against God, but each one of us, as if we were all there. Did you choose what country you were born into? No, you inherited that country from where your parents were. And watching the Olympics over the last 2 weeks, it gives us a great example of being born into something or outside of something. And while, yes, getting to the Olympics requires hard work and training, it also requires a certain amount of genetics that you get from your parents. Weightlifters. If there is a history of weak knees in their family, when they come to lift 700-800 kilos, their knees are going to pop. Long jumpers, they need to have the genetic makeup to be able to fly. Swimmers need big shoulders, basketballers need to be tall, and gymnasts, for some reason, need to be Chinese. You see, it wasn't just Adam that sinned against God, but it was humanity. Our part in sin doesn't stop at inheriting it either. We each play an active part. We want to make that choice for ourselves. We want to choose what is good and what is evil. The funny thing about it is that we got exactly what we wanted, but we failed to do it. We each decide what is good and evil, but we fail. We fail in ruling ourselves, we fail in ruling society, and we fail in ruling the world. I mean, Australia, our great nation, was built off the back of this failure. A nation of convicts sailed over for stealing bread. Now, stealing bread is an evil thing. But the bread was stolen because the rich and the powerful wouldn't help the poor feed their family. So was that stealing really evil? Because there is no other way to feed your family. It makes stealing okay, it makes it good. And it makes the rich and the powerful the ones who are doing evil because they're not helping the poor. But the rich and the powerful, they didn't break any laws, which makes them good. And these convicts, they stole, which makes them evil. And now I've confused myself. Because I don't know who's good and who's not evil. See, a failure to rule. Oh, how about this one? Let me tell you about a sailor. This sailor, he was a good sailor. He was always on duty on time. Always stayed awake, always kept watch. He supported and helped his shipmates. He took their watch when they were sick. He was deeply loyal and respectful to his captain. You know, there once was a faithful sailor. We would say that he was good. He was a good sailor. But what if I told you the flag that he sailed under had a skull and crossbones? This sailor was a pirate. Now pirates, we would class them as evil. But we just class this pirate as good. So is he good or is he evil? A failure to rule. In summary, sin is rejecting God's rule. Rebelling against God to take the power to choose what is good and what is evil for ourselves. It comes from the denial of God's word and the denial of responsibility. We're all involved in sin, both corporally and personally. And worst of all, we fail to rule as we so desire. The last 3 weeks, we've had painted this perfect picture of creation. And today I destroyed that picture. And I hope that you feel the weight of sin. because it is a horrific thing. But let me leave you with some comfort that there is a way back to this perfect creation. It will get better, but not before it gets worse. Because there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. So what will God do about this rebellion?